From our studio in Houston, Texas,
it's time for the Angry Admins Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. This is April 29th, 2008, and this is episode 68. I am one of your hosts for the podcast, Ryan Necessary.
And I'm over here, Joe Bibby, hanging out.
Good to have you. Good to be back 3 weeks in a row.
Man, I know. The expectations are
just... It's crazy now.
It's too much.
All right, Joe, why don't you get us started with some tech news?
All right. We have AMD this week trying to let everyone know how awesome they're still... Or actually how awesome they're going to be in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Story on Engadget this week. AMD says post-Phenom CPUs will be completely different.
All right.
So I think what we're going to see with these next generation ones is they're going to fully integrate the ATI purchase so that the CPU will be able to dynamically switch between a integrated graphics mm-hmm. and external card, which you already can kind of do that. And then they're also going to, according to them, the new CPUs will be capable of, quote, solving problems that today we think can never be addressed by hardware. What that means, I don't know. They're just trying to get in the news because their stuff is terrible right now.
Yeah, I read a little bit about this. Some people were reading between the lines, and some folks are saying that AMD ATI is trying to get more into the, not just the graphics card business, but into the, you know, how can we shape the direction mm-hmm. of PCs
mm-hmm. and becoming the leader instead right. of following.
Because right now they can't influence any of the other architecture, mm-hmm. and so they're always kind of being boxed in, and so they're trying to change that maybe. Anyway, good luck to that.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, the XP. Service Pack 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not really ready. So earlier this week, there was a bunch of links, and, oh, yeah, it's going to be here, it's going to be here, and now it's kind of not here. But here's the thing. There's an incompatibility with, I believe, some RMS software. So if you're not running this special thing, then you're safe to seek it out, find it, download it, and install it.
Mm-hmm.
It is out there on the web, but officially... it is not totally available for the masses, but it looks like most of the Service Pack 3 for XP is pulling back some Vista capabilities mm-hmm. into XP. Nothing super crazy, but just a few different features with mm-hmm. activation and cryptography and stuff.
Yeah, aren't they? You don't have to have a product key to install now.
Right, that was one of the things they were trying to change. Which
only helps you if you have an XP.
Right.
Service Pack 3.
But you know, every time they mess with activation, they screw a bunch of people. So.
Yeah. That is one of the features about Vista that I think they did right. I mean, that lets you kind of just install it and try out the different versions. And so that's a good addition. So hopefully it will come out sometime in English.
So anyway, it is out there. You have to find it. And it should be safe to install as long as you're not running this Microsoft Dynamics RMS.
There was some other XP news this week too, wasn't there? Something about Dell and...
Oh yeah, so Dell and some of the news centers were kind of following up on the story about how Microsoft sort of set a deadline and said, you're not going to be able to sell XP after this date. So to counter that, the major PC manufacturers found a loophole which says that you can downgrade Vista
mm-hmm.
into XP. So what they're basically selling you is, okay, we'll sell you a Vista laptop or a Vista PC.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, would you like us to use your alternate downgrade license?
Mm, that's
nice.
Know,
pre-installed.
That's pretty sweet.
Right. So they're in effect, they're still selling you XP, and they're still selling you Vista,
mm-hmm.
but you have the choice to get XP installed on it. So
from Microsoft's side, it's a Vista sale.
Right.
So all these people, see, that's... I wonder how much that's going to skew.
That's going to be funny numbers.
Yeah. You won't be able to know. You'll never know what it actually... I guess Dell will have to release that because from Microsoft's side, it's going to all be a Vista sales.
Well, the people that could tell you will be the people that wouldn't want you to know because obviously Microsoft can see who's patching mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. and all that, who's activating and what's being activated, but right. they're not going to tell you the numbers that they don't want you to know.
True. I'm also wondering, because they also announced that they're going to, I think we may have talked about this previously, but XP is going to continue on like the ultra mobile things, stuff like the One Laptop Per Child project,
mm-hmm.
and kind of those kind of cheap
budget
laptops.
To 2010, I think.
Yeah. So the good thing there is that means more patches will continue to happen.
Because
originally that was the other thing that was going to be cut off, is there are no more patches.
Right.
So I wonder if they'll push those out to people not in that category, or if they'll somehow separate it out.
Yeah, I think at this point Microsoft's just going to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously they found this; these guys have found the workaround to keep selling XP right. after June 30th.
Right.
And I think Microsoft now is going to be looking forward to Windows 7.
Right.
And they're kind of just kind of let Vista just do whatever. Mm. That's my sense.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Oh well, we'll have to be on Vista eventually. Maybe we can just leapfrog to Windows 7. So some other good news came out. Spore, I know you've been looking forward to this. I saw that the creature editor is actually going to be available ahead of the game, June 17th. You'll be able to download the creature editor and just start like making creatures and goofing around with them. And apparently you'll also be able to share those with your friends
mm-hmm.
and upload them to YouTube.
Right. And for those not in the know, this is the preliminary chunk of the Spore video game
right.
Created by Will Wright, who also was the founder and father of the Sims
right.
franchise
yeah.
and the SimCity franchise.
Yeah, and Black and White, which was a pretty big, big
hugely
big
popular
deal.
So that's good news. We're going to get a piece of it early.
Yeah.
We've only been waiting forever.
So. Yeah. It was game of the year last year, right?
It was for me, even though it wasn't out.
But yeah, the actual release date for the game is September 7th, as long as it doesn't get pushed back.
Mm.
But they did demo, I think they demoed something similar to what this creature editor is going to be like on the iPhone. So supposedly there's going to be an iPhone version too once the SDK comes out.
Nice.
That's not in this story, but that was they showed that during the SDK announcement. So pretty cool. Yeah. I think we're going to see more of this, don't you think? More like, instead of just having, because people, there's so many early release videos and stuff, and it's hard to get a good feel what the game's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like demos aren't coming out until after the game anymore, so that, you know, they need to release something. I'm wondering if we're going to start seeing like things like this more often, where little bits of the game, it's like they're talking about this for what is Fable 2,
right,
where they're going to release this like gambling scenario ahead of time that you'll be able to build up money and start out with money in the game.
Right. Well, a lot of these software companies seem to be fracturing these products so that you mm-hmm. can do bits and pieces on the web, bits and pieces on your phone,
right?
And just, oh well, this is the RTS version and this is the shooter version, and they're realizing that different people like different things and mm-hmm. they want to cover all their bases. So it's kind of nice.
I think it's also smart that they're kind of spreading a game franchise across multiple platforms, but not just the same thing.
Right.
Like, you know, just piecing out different things. You'll be able to, you know, you can run, there'll be the temptation now to run a little window of this game, this little editor, like at work or something, and, you know, kind of keeping you in the game all the time.
Right.
Keep your
attention.
The wow concept, but not the full game, just little pieces.
Right. Which would be nice.
Yeah. I like the idea. I think it's a good thing. So pretty cool.
Yeah. So back to some more Microsoft stuff. This past weekend, the big deadline came for the offer for Yahoo.
Oh, right.
So that came and went.
Hmm.
And now it's really just Microsoft's not saying anything.
Yeah.
So everyone's just standing around waiting for the other shoe to drop. And a lot of people are thinking that they might go hostile, like a hostile takeover.
Yeah.
Just buy up all the stock and say, well, we have controlling 51% plus of the stock, so we're going to replace the board of directors with our own.
Hmm.
And over on ValueWag, they had their picks of what they think the new board would look like. And it's former CEOs of like eHarmony and some of the major, I don't know if it was a former CEO of Netflix or it was some of those big companies, but they've already got people picked out to do this. And
wow.
I don't know if it's just like posing, like kind of a threat, like these are the people that will be replacing you if you don't accept our offer.
That's crazy.
So I don't know. But who's to say if they're even going to do a hostile takeover? But a lot of people are talking about it. I think they just want something to happen bad.
Right.
and Microsoft, this would, I mean, we don't need one more reason to hate Microsoft.
Yeah.
And this would be one of those, oh, they did a hostile takeover of Yahoo.
Right. So, I mean, I guess they really feel like they need this. I wonder if they're basing, I mean, they probably expected Yahoo to say, oh, thank you. And and like, thanks for all your money. Because, I mean, Yahoo hasn't really been doing well. And I think they got kind of surprised with this.
Well, Yahoo's been right on the seesaw of success, and then their first quarter came back, their numbers came back good,
right?
Which, you know, just emboldened them to use a right wing word. So now they're like, no, we're doing great. We don't need to sell. And the shareholders, they don't know what to do because, you know, if they cheap out now and if they, you know, if they say, well, yeah, we should sell to Microsoft, then what if Yahoo grows even more and they could have made more money later?
Right.
So really no one knows what to do right now. Microsoft doesn't know what to do. Yahoo doesn't know what to do. I think a lot of the upper echelon of Yahoo is fighting this because they definitely don't want to get replaced. But B, you know, they don't want to have their little piece of Yahoo history closed out with, you know, a down note.
Right.
Like I'm sure the top tier folks are feeling like we're just on the verge of really making some big gains and doing big things, and we don't want to have that snuffed out just because, you know, we're coming out of a period of uncertainty.
Right.
But
I did hear this is on the latest tweet. Kevin Rose is talking about how they're getting all these resumes from Yahoo now.
People are
because and like not just people on the bottom, like upper people, and they're excited about it because it's so hard for them to find coders who have worked on a website that's, you know, supporting millions of people.
Right.
And Yahoo's one of the few companies that has that. So it's like all their good talent is just exiting. I mean, it's almost like it's too late, so they need to just accept.
Yeah, if they have a big talent exodus, that will be bad.
Yeah. I mean, they're already kind of, I don't know.
So this is what would kill it. So if Microsoft does a hostile takeover, or if Yahoo sells out at the current bid price,
right,
then Yahoo's board gets decapitated, so that those people all get replaced with Microsoft people,
right?
Which may take the company down. And then if all the talent sneaks out the back door, then now you have a company run by Microsoft with Microsoft people without the Yahoo direction or talent.
Yeah.
Which means now you've just got another crappy search.
Yeah.
And that's not what Microsoft's trying to acquire. They're trying to acquire the goodness of it, but they're driving out all the goodness.
I know. Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all. I don't understand why they're buying it. I mean, I know they've had trouble with Live, but oh, speaking of Live, there is a new thing coming out from Microsoft. So Microsoft seems like now that Gates has left, they're finally moving on to new things.
Okay.
So this new thing, it was announced this week, called Live Mesh, which is not a good name because it just makes me think of mesh networking. But
right,
what it is they're trying to make, from what I can understand from it, because it's, you know, it's a bunch of marketing speak, but from what I can understand, it's actually like a development platform almost. So they have all these synchronization things in the background, and it's kind of taking the cloud computing. So think of it like, you know how you can, you have all the Google apps kind of linked together online. Mm-hmm. Think of that on Microsoft's front, but then you can also develop and plug into it and have your own apps tie into all that data.
So this is...
So like all your email, all your online stored documents.
So this is your user data following you in the cloud.
Right.
Whatever your front
which end is accessible by other third-party applications. And it's called Live Mesh.
Hmm.
So it's in a closed development thing right now, but I think Google announced something sort of like this, where it's like Google Apps development or something, where you can develop other applications on Google. But Google stuff, they're not really, because their development is so sporadic, their stuff just doesn't, using the mesh word, but mesh together.
Right.
You know, it doesn't congeal into one product.
Right.
The only one that does that well is the Google Documents and Spreadsheets, but that was kind of developed from the ground up as a combined unit.
Mm-hmm.
But you switch between Gmail and Google Documents and calendar, and it doesn't all flow. I mean, it feels like separate things.
Right. They don't. There's no pipe between the two, between any of the other apps to like move things in and out.
Right.
Or if I'm working on a Google Doc, say a Word doc, there's no way to like bring in your what would it be, Picasa picture to this document. Yeah. I mean, there's none of that. So
I think that's what Microsoft is trying to like leapfrog, what it seems like. And what's amazing is this is going to be all supported on Mac, Windows, and Linux. Hmm. So the idea is that these will actually be kind of like what I've been talking about, you know, for a long time now. My dream of applications that can run local or in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to run the same apps in your browser, which is kind of, I guess, what Linux people will be stuck with, or using local Silverlight stuff. You can run the stuff locally and, you know, grab it all from online and sync it locally and work with it.
It does seem like, and people have been talking about this week too, that Microsoft's kind of sort of being more accepting of other mm-hmm. operating systems.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all right, we get the fact that you may want Linux servers. What if we provide your front end for controlling the Linux servers?
Yeah.
You know, so this is kind of crazy.
It's nice, actually. I'm kind of glad to see it. I mean, partly just because I'm not on Windows anymore, it's nice to be able to use Microsoft products on a Mac.
Right.
You know, because sometimes they are better. And it's nice to be able to just work. And, I mean, Silverlight is another thing that mm-hmm. when that came out and it was cross-platform, it blew me away. I just thought it was going to be another Windows Media debacle.
And if they do start providing a front end to, say, Linux servers, I mean, this is smart for them, because what if, okay, well, we got like a bunch of clusters and a bunch of Linux, you know, storage area stuff happening and RAIDs, mm-hmm. and this is all very complicated, but, well, we'll just buy this Microsoft thing, which is like this Fisher-Price front end
mm-hmm.
that we can, you know, understand, you know, for like newbies. Or managers who want to press a few buttons and mm-hmm. restart things or do crazy stuff, then, I mean, this is smart because this lets them kind of come back over the top of Linux and say, well, yeah, you can have Linux and you need us to drive it.
Well, that's really what Mac is. I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah, Mac is like the ultimate front end to something powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm not ready to trust them yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, because in the past they've done stuff like this and then they just kind of stop. And then, oh, no, it's going to be Windows only now.
Right.
So you get everybody hooked, and then you reel them in.
Right.
But from what I've, you know, from the whispers I'm hearing in the edges of the internet, that was kind of all driven by Gates, who always was just milking the cash cow mm-hmm. and trying to drive everybody back to Office and back to Windows. But I think they're realizing that that's starting to get old
mm-hmm.
with all the Vista complaints, and people are tired of upgrading Office versions and not getting anything out of it.
Well, it seems like when they start to open up the side doors for this stuff, what they tend to do is, okay, you can use us with the other products,
mm-hmm.
but if you're not using a Windows server, the following 23 things will be disabled.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so they're trying to paint this picture of, no, we work with them. But if you really wanted the full functionality, mm-hmm. you would switch to Windows Server.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're always painting this picture of, equality, but, you know, only an idiot would not use all Windows, you know. And so that's always kind of the flavor that they're mm-hmm. pushing on people.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Mm. So, what about 3G iPhone? We haven't talked about 3G iPhone.
I know. I've been keeping myself from mentioning it, mostly because it's just been a bunch of rumors flying around, and it's really all there still is, but really all signs are pointing to June. Big announcement this week. The Commercial Times, quoting a source from Foxconn, which is the company that makes the first-gen iPhone and has made a bunch of the iPods, and they're pretty much like the Apple hardware, mobile hardware developer or manufacturer. Apparently they are ramping up 3G assembly by the end of May to ship 3 million units in June, which is a pretty good sign. June is the Worldwide Developers Conference. If you look at stuff for the Worldwide Developers Conference, it's all about iPhone. It's all about developing for the iPhone. People are really expecting a new iPhone coming in June. And there's been some other stuff on Engadget, you know, maybe there's going to be GPS, it might have video conferencing, it might have this, it might have that. You know, nobody really knows what's going to be in it, but I think if you're ready to buy an iPhone, hold off for just another month or two.
So what's June? That's the WWDC?
Yeah, Worldwide Developers Conference. It's Apple's big development thing. You know, they have all these sessions that teach you how to write for Apple. And June is also the one-year anniversary of the original iPhone.
Right. So is that one of the Jobs keynotes? Is that WWDC, or is that
usually? Yeah, a lot of times he'll do a keynote at Macworld and at WWDC, depending if there's a big announcement. So no word on a keynote yet, but expect one. Yeah. If they don't say there's going to be a keynote, then it probably isn't going to happen, because I can't imagine that would just be an incremental update like the iMacs this week.
Right.
That's not just going to appear on the Apple Store.
And I don't know what else they have in the works. I mean, yeah, they keep the lid on stuff, but what else? If there is a keynote, what else would he talk about?
Right.
You know,
yeah. Maybe finally that $1,000 desktop I keep wanting.
Yeah, you'll be waiting. You'll be getting a 3G iPhone much before you get that.
I know. Yeah, the other thing about iPhone that came out this week, and this is something I think would be awesome, is haptic feedback. I'll make sure to put this link in there for you so we can have it in the show notes, but haptic feedback, if you don't know what that is basically using the vibrate function of a device to give you kind of a texture feel. Mm-hmm. So like when you make a tap, it'll vibrate so that you know you actually tapped. Sometimes it can even be used, if it's really good, to actually, you can rub your finger along something and it feels like it has texture the way it vibrates. Pretty amazing stuff, really. And supposedly they are in talks with licensing with the major haptic feedback company out there. So could be some pretty amazing stuff, but again, I mean, it's all rumors. You know, all I really care about is I want 3G, and everything else is just icing.
Yep. I just hope my old phone makes it.
I know, man. I hope I don't break mine between now and then. Let's see, what else do we have? Some cool, like, do-it-yourself stuff, hardware stuff on the Make blog. If you guys don't read the Make blog, I recommend it. Sometimes it's boring, but a lot of do-it-yourself projects put out by Make Magazine. And they covered this week a story about some high school students that created this pretty cool wind-powered Wi-Fi repeater. And what's neat about it is you can just set this thing up, you know, wherever, and it's self-powered from the wind. And then you have a repeater for your wireless network outside that you can move around and, you know, put it wherever you want. And you know, they did it. It doesn't look amazing, but the fact that they were able to do this, and, you know, not very expensive, and I mean, they basically just used some tubes and some pieces of metal and, you know, a plastic Tupperware box is what they used to waterproof it, and some plumber's putty, and just, you know, put it together. And it charges up a battery basically that the repeater runs off of.
Nice. That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be nice. You know, just imagine if you just, you know, quickly needed to throw up a network somewhere and you have no power and you just throw these things down and you're done.
You could put them offshore.
Oh, there you go.
At the beach.
That would be pretty cool, actually. Actually, that would be a good business. Set up Wi-Fi on the beach and just have it be wind powered.
We'll be right back. We gotta register our website for beachwifi.com.
And then the other neat little thing I saw this week was on the unofficial Apple weblog, Ergotron, which is a big, I don't know what you'd even call it, like a monitor mount and that kind of stuff for like flexible stands and things.
Mm-hmm.
They released a thing this week called the NeoFlex Combo Lift Stand, and this is targeted for laptop users. The idea is that you can, you know, you mount your monitor on this thing, and then to the right is a little laptop stand. So you can essentially have dual monitor with your laptop and have it kind of up off the ground. And you know, pretty sweet thing. Kind of pricey at $179, but, you know, I could see it being useful since I'm on a laptop all the time now. There's times where I wish I could do dual monitor, and I've tried the splitters that let you split it out to two monitors, but they just don't work very well.
It's not the same.
Yeah, either. It's a little fuzzy. It just doesn't give you the clarity, so... But yeah, some cool stuff.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap up another episode of the Angry Admins podcast. For links to all the great stuff we talked about this week, head on over to our website at angryadmins.com. We'll have some show notes and stuff, and feel free to always check that out if you want to get a quick picture of what the show's going to be like.
That's right. And if you want to follow me during the week, I'm at twitter.com/bibz. B-I-B-Z.
Yes, he is there.
Twitter!
As always, feedback at angryadmins.com for questions, comments, or general hate mail. Until next week, I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
Stay angry.